Do our jobs have to suck? A lot of employees barely tolerate their employment, and a lot of employers strive to pay workers as little as possible for the most work they can squeeze out of them. But it doesn't have to be that way, according to Zeynep Tan, author of The Case for Good Jobs: How Great Companies Bring Dignity, Pay, and Meaning to Everyone's Work. Zeynep is a professor at the MIT Sloan School of Management and previously was on the faculty of the Harvard Business School. Her work has been featured in The Atlantic, The New Yorker, The Washington Post, Bloomberg TV, and MSNBC. And she joins us now to share five of her big ideas.
Hello, everyone. My name is Zeynep Tan, and I'm delighted to share with you insights from The Case for Good Jobs. The case seems easy to make. How can any organization win without having a great team that's set up to succeed? But many leaders, especially in frontline service businesses, think they can't afford to create that team. They've been taught that labor is just another cost, and market pay, by definition, is the right pay, even if it's not a living wage. They can't even imagine operating differently. But the status quo with low pay is worse than we think. There's a better way. And getting there is less risky than staying with the status quo. Let's dive deeper. Insight number one, low pay hurts workers and companies more than we think. What happens when market pay is unlivable pay? Workers often juggle multiple jobs. They don't get regular sleep or even enough sleep. Low pay is associated with heart disease, stroke, diabetes, opioid use, even suicide. It hurts cognitive functioning. Constantly worrying about money problems creates a bandwidth tax that's equivalent to a 13-point drop in IQ. This is the reality for tens of millions of workers in retail, restaurants, call centers, nursing homes, and many more industries. Of course, pay alone doesn't make a job a good one, but absence of sufficient pay guarantees high employee turnover. And once turnover is high, the work ends up being designed to ensure that people are treated like a pair of hands, not human beings who have brains. One executive said, "We're building systems assuming people can't do anything right." Many company leaders I've met didn't think costs of turnover were high enough to justify higher pay. But most have never even quantified those costs. And I can tell you, it's not for the faint-hearted. We've seen companies changing their entire roster every year. Just the direct cost of replacing those workers, recruiting, training, time to full productivity, often amounts to 10 to 25% of labor budgets. But that's nothing compared to lost sales from mistakes and poor service, higher costs due to waste, and low productivity. The resulting poor financial performance makes it much harder to invest in people, locking the company in a vicious cycle of high turnover and poor performance. In this vicious cycle, companies can still grow their sales and profits by adding more units, more products, more discounts, and more services. But all that adding increases complexity and creates an even weaker system. This is a low expectation system. Managers are constantly fighting fires and have no time to hire the right people or train them well. Burnt out managers find it easier to tolerate low performers than to replace them. This is a low trust system. Leaders can't trust the ability or motivation of their workers, and workers don't trust their leaders who make life and work so difficult for them. This is an uncompetitive system that can't serve customers well and adapt to changes. But there's a much better way, which brings me to insight number two. Higher pay doesn't mean higher prices or lower profits. Costco is one of the world's largest retailers and offers its customers high-quality products at the lowest possible price. In 2022, the average hourly worker there made $26 an hour, almost $10 more than a typical U.S. retail worker. Did Costco's shareholders pay a price for high worker pay? On the contrary, from 1985 to 2023, Costco's stock price grew at a compounded annual rate of 17% compared to S&P's 9%. But you don't have to be Costco to pay your employees well while offering the lowest prices and strong investor returns. Quick Trip, a convenience store chain based in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Mercadona, Spain's largest supermarket chain, and Trader Joe's, all do the same. You also don't have to be a retailer or even compete on low cost. In-N-Out Burger, Toyota, Four Seasons Hotels, and Shouldice Hospital are all examples of companies where no stakeholder's success depends on someone else being unable to see a doctor in order to afford the week's groceries. But these companies don't just pay more. They design an entire system, which I call the good job strategy, that makes their employees' work worth more, so it more than pays for itself. Everyone in the headquarters make decisions to respect employees' time and abilities, to improve their productivity, and to set them up for success. For example, before introducing a new product or service, they consider how it will affect frontline work. A new product may drive sales, but if it ends up impeding service, for example, coupons that slow up the checkout line, forget it. Truck deliveries are made to smooth the workload so frontline employees have time to stock shelves and help customers. Work is designed for high productivity, with standardization where it makes sense, empowerment, and cross-training. Unlike the low-trust system, this good job system is built on trust. Low turnover lets people earn trust, and with trust, empowerment finally makes sense. Knowledgeable employees are trusted to order merchandise, solve customer problems, and manage checkout flow. Unlike the low expectation system, this is a system built on high expectations. Employees can count on the time and resources to do a good job, and the company can count on them to do it. This is a system of excellence that is resilient and delivers customer loyalty. Insight number 3, mental models that produce excellence. Once I started spending time with leaders who chose the good job strategy, I realized how different they think. Their mental model is so different than those who find low wages necessary to compete. To them, great companies win with their customers by constantly improving the value of their products and services. That means frontline work can't be mediocre. It has to be great. But if the work has to be great, high turnover and low employee ability are no longer bearable costs. They're unacceptable. Take Jim Sinegal, co-founder and longtime CEO of Costco. To Sinegal, a focus on improving efficiency is key to reducing price and winning with customers. Costco can't get there without a strong frontline team that can execute. Poor handling of fresh produce or frozen goods would cause waste. Poor stocking or slow checkout would reduce sales. High volume is key to operational efficiency, so it's continuous improvement. Costco relies on ideas from front lines to constantly reduce costs and improve service. 70 cents of every dollar we spend to run our company goes to people, Sinegal often tells my students at MIT Sloan. Well, that tells you pretty significantly how important people are. Isadore Sharp, the founder of Four Seasons, thinks the same way. He told me that their guests count on time-saving, problem-solving, fast, personal, and error-free service. A chipped plate that's unnoticed by a dishwasher or an understaffed pressing department that makes a customer wait in his underwear for his suit could ruin the experience and damage Four Seasons' reputation. Frontline employees are the product, and that means it's unacceptable to operate with high turnover. But if high turnover is unacceptable, then you have to pay employees well and design their work for high productivity. This is so obvious to these leaders that they can't figure out why anyone else would choose the opposite. QuickTrip's co-founder wrote, "Paying people more than they expect has been one of QuickTrip's secrets to success. QuickTrip attracted better people and kept them longer. Reduced turnover saved time and money. It was such a simple idea that I was and am still shocked that our competitors never copied it." Trader Joe's founder wrote, "Time and time again, I'm asked why no one successfully replicated Trader Joe's. The answer is that no one has been willing to pay the wages and benefits, and thereby attract and keep the quality of people who work at Trader Joe's. Grocers seem to spend more effort squeezing payroll than squeezing cost of goods sold, although there's at least 5 times more opportunity to save money in the latter. Insight number 4. Spreadsheets don't tell the truth. During the last 7 years, numerous companies, including the pet store chain Mudbay, call centers at Quest Diagnostics, 2 units of Moe's Original Barbecue, and Walmart's Sam's Club, made the transition from a low-pay, high-turnover system to the good job system. The results for all were big improvements to turnover, productivity, customer satisfaction, and sales. And I mean big. Quest Diagnostics cut turnover by more than half. Mudbay, despite an industry trend toward online shopping, improved same-store sales growth and significantly improved productivity. At Sam's Club, it had always been difficult to increase efficiency by even 1%. They were able to improve it by nearly 20%. But system change like that required conviction and imagination. These leaders were convinced that they couldn't win if they didn't change, and they could imagine operating with a much better system. That type of imagination is not possible if you insist on careful financial analysis of each individual change. When John Furner, the CEO of Sam's Club at the time, wanted to raise pay, he was warned, "Don't do it. We raised pay before. It didn't reduce turnover." At various companies, I heard, "We've empowered people and lost millions of dollars. We've added hours to staffing. It didn't improve profits. We've reduced the annoying coupons and lost sales." The type of analyses these companies did to reach these conclusions is exactly the type of analysis we teach our MBA students to do. We teach them how to use data to identify cause and effects in isolation. We teach them to make decisions scientifically, as if business is science. But this is not a physics experiment. There is no law that says if you raise pay this much, turnover will drop this much. It matters how you raise pay and what else you do to reduce turnover. Good job strategy is a system. Sam's Club, Mudbay, Quest, they didn't just raise pay. They improved the work that people did. And meanwhile, historical data will only tell you what happened in the past. They won't help you imagine what can happen in a much better system. Insight number 5. The risk of making system change is much lower than the risk of the status quo. If you're stuck in a system of low pay and high turnover, but system change looks too risky, ask yourself 2 questions. First, can your company continue to win with customers without a strong team that's set up to succeed? If employees make so little that they can't focus on the job, or if managers are so busy fighting fires that they can't hire and train well, you're guaranteed to play with a weak team. Second, can your company adapt to changes in competition, technology, and the labor market without a strong team that's set up to succeed? Change is speeding up with new technologies. Declining birth rates and retiring baby boomers meet tight labor markets. It's unquestionably harder to attract and retain talent today. Minimum wages are increasing. So if you don't change your system, you'll just have to pay more for the same unsatisfactory result. The risk of system change, on the other hand, isn't as high as it may seem. First, as one CEO said, the good job strategy is blindingly obvious. Its elements are well-established, old-school business practices. Second, just as there is a vicious cycle, there is a virtuous cycle. You don't have to make the whole good jobs investment all at once. Sam's Club initially raised pay for certain positions, $5 to $7 an hour, along with some well-chosen simplification of frontline work. Once performance improved, they could make more employee investments and more work design changes. Quest, Mudbay, and others did the same. Third, there's tremendous energy around this change. It appeals to leaders' desire to win and be recognized for it. It also appeals to their hearts. They get to improve the lives of tens, hundreds, or at a company like Sam's Club, tens of thousands of people. That's a real legacy. Thank you so much for listening. And if your organization ends up adopting the Good Job system, please let me know.
Thank you, Zeynep. That was Zeynep Tan with 5 big ideas from The Case for Good Jobs, how great companies bring dignity, pay, and meaning to everyone's work. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.